Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games. It's hosted by three very kind and knowledgeable boys. You've got myself, Tommy Dasilo, over here looking at his phone. You've got Adam Knox.
I'm looking at the phone for the purposes of content.
Okay, great.
So it's not a rude thing to do.
It's still rude. I'm rude. To the right of me, you've got the other host of the show, Ben Vanell.
I was paying attention that entire time, and I know what you talked about, and I wasn't looking at the computer.
Okay, what were we talking about then?
Video games?
Yes.
Hey,
we kind of were in a roundabout
it.
Way.
Yeah.
And joining us today, we have a guest. You know him from Good Game.
Yes.
You know him from Spicks and Specks.
I did that one time.
You know him from Triple J.
Yes, I did that 194 times.
Well, you're a white male, so of course you did.
Oh, dear.
Ba, 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 ba.
Let me say his name. It's Dave Callan.
Oh, hello there.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
I like video games and your faces.
Yeah, we've been trying to get you in here for a while. We've been planning to get you in for a while.
Yep.
I don't know about trying. That's probably stretching it a bit.
Yeah, I think it was more like sitting around waiting for me to walk past the window.
Yeah.
That was your effort.
Yeah.
Which, as it turns out, you do live quite close to Ben's house.
Yeah, I'm in Thornbury.
Mm. Yeah.
The problem is that Ben lives on the second story, so we couldn't see him even if he did walk past.
I'm not tall enough.
No. Dave, you're quite a prolific gamer. What systems do you own?
I have them all except the Atari Jaguar. I have a PS4.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great.
I have a PS3, which is covered in dust and unplugged. And I have a Nintendo Wii.
Acoustic.
It's the name of Bruce Springsteen's most recent album. Covered in dust and unplugged.
It's very popular. And I have a Xbox One.
Mm.
And then the other Xbox One, which was the real Xbox One.
Ah, yes.
And then the first one. And then I have the one in the middle, which was the 360th one.
Have you heard of the Trading Post?
Yes. But have you heard of backwards compatibility?
No, not
well,
in this day and age.
It doesn't bloody work on Xbox. You have to have all of them.
Yep.
There's decent backwards compatibility on an Xbox One, but they slowly update it with new things every month. So you get like 2 games a month.
Yeah.
And if you wanted to play something that wasn't on that, then fuck you, buddy.
And also, if you haven't got the disc, also fuck you, buddy.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I don't know why you have to have the disc in this day and age, because you can download the size of those games, you can download quite easily, even in Australia.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so that they can know that you're not putting the others on the Trading Post.
Mm. Oh.
Are we just about done with backwards compatibility? It was the big thing. You know, it was a big thing for a bit, you know.
Yeah. Why were you smiling like an idiot, Knox? Yeah.
The way you said compatibility.
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 What?
Said it. Maybe
how
I just
dare
had
you?
A brief stroke during.
Nah, I heard that too.
Oh, really?
We can
check
the
tape.
That's right. Yeah. Go rewind.
I remember like there was a time when every console that came out, you sort of had to do it for the generation before. And now, you know, the Switch won't have it because it's what is it? It's SD cards or some shit.
Oh, it's some cartridge thing.
Yeah. They're just making the games again, basically, for that.
Yeah.
It seems to be the way they're dealing
with it.
That's
the new thing now, isn't it, really? The reissue with high def.
Mm.
Yes.
A couple of extra characters thrown in there.
If you're lucky.
Yeah.
Because my PS3 died, like the disc drive died, and like there are so many games that I wish I could still play. Like Red Dead Redemption, if I had a PS3, I'd probably just play that. Like it's such a great game.
Yeah.
And they'll get me when they remaster it and release it, you know, in HD for $40-$50 or whatever.
Totally.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, when is that happening? I really want that to come out.
Yeah. Well, they had that big Red Dead 2 launch, and I guess they'll let that subside, and then they'll go, hey, remember Red Dead 2 and Red Dead 1, you know.
They'll do it the other way around, I reckon, where like in March or June or something, they'll go, hey, Red Dead Redemption is available on the PS4.
Yeah.
Get excited for the second one, you bastards.
Yep.
What do you think, Dave? Red Dead fan?
Big fan. Yeah, mm-hmm. I thought it was great. you know, I never finished it. I get to this stage in open world games where I get very close to the end and I realize that the whole thing's ending and I just want it to exist forever.
Yes.
And I just stop playing it.
Yep.
So I never went back and finished. And I really wish I did because it was such a great story and it would have been nice to see the end of that arc.
Well, good thing you've still got that PS3. Get those cables.
Yeah.
Get the duster out. Put your little French maid outfit on. Give it a good old clean.
How do you know about my life? I played a bit of the zombie one, though.
Oh, yeah.
Like, which, you know, followed on from it.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Interesting. Mm. Yeah.
That
was good.
That was a weird move, I thought.
I liked it a lot. Yeah. It was, it was a cool move to, take the characters from, a relatively serious thing. Like, it was funny bits and stuff, but then to make it all ridiculous. It was like a Christmas special.
And it was just like an expansion thing, right? Where it was, new missions and
completely
stuff like that. B-roll zombies.
Separate thing,
It's kind of like the Red Dead Redemption Simpsons Treehouse of Horror.
Totally.
Yeah.
That's a cool idea. Every game, it should be like if you make a video game, come Halloween,
you have to
bring out one DLC pack, like Werewolf Mario. Like, they kind of did that with Sonic, didn't they? They did Werewolf Sonic.
Oh, and that was very successful.
No good.
And it should be like if you make a baby, then you have to look after it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, that already happens.
Well, not everywhere.
Sometimes.
I like it. So, Dave, what's your favorite style of game? What do you get into?
Yeah, what's your favorite position of game?
My favorite position of game is missionary game. I really like.
What's the weirdest place you've played a video game?
what was it like the first time you played a video game?
I had to pay for it. I really like.
It's open mic podcasting.
Playing a video game for the very first time is a lot like.
I really like. I got caught by my parents playing a video game the first time.
Oh boy!
And they're like, now you've got to play all of them. I would sit here and watch.
I walked in on my parents playing a video game once. That was horrifying. I wasn't able to touch a Wiimote for.
Back to my original question, which was serious, even though it veered off very quickly. What's your favorite style of game? Like, what do you most get into?
I like historical sandbox games. It's a very particular, thing. But I really like the environments they create and walking around. Like the Assassin's Creed ones, being able to explore Renaissance Italy or...
Yeah.
The Crusades. And I really like... one set in different eras. Sandbox games like Mafia 3, which is set in the late 60s or,
the late 60s, so like 68 or
I would say
69?
Hey, 69. That's a bit rude.
Totally just deconstructed Tommy's comedy. 69 is a bit rude.
We came very close to calling this show Nintendo 69.
Yes.
What do you think of that?
Dangerously close.
I think that's homoerotic.
I think it's better than what we went with because we named this show Filthy Casuals and then about our third episode in discovered that there's like 18 other podcasts on iTunes with that name.
Oh,
so it's
no,
actually
really?
Very difficult to find this.
Insane that we didn't Google it.
Yeah.
It's really, really weird.
Yeah.
But I will say, we've outlasted pretty much all of them, I think.
All of them, yeah.
There's one that's still... I checked in on one of them the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do they ever talk about us?
I don't know because I'm not going to go through and listen to all of it.
Yeah.
And it turns out neither are very many people.
Yeah.
Take that, you other bastards.
Oh, if we're,
no,
if
I hope
we're going,
they do well. I
if
hope
we're going popularity, we are the kings.
Yeah,
we are the kings. By a significant margin.
Yeah, we rule.
Yeah.
Everyone listens to us.
Yeah.
Hello, Beyonce.
Hello.
So historical sandbox. So did you like
you
Mafia 3?
One chance to speak to Beyonce.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
If you could say one thing to this famous person, what would it be?
Hey.
Sup.
What do you reckon if I'd have called my podcast Nintendo 69?
Did you like Mafia 3?
Yeah, I actually did.
Yeah, right, okay.
At first I was like, oh, the graphics aren't so great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But did you know they released a patch maybe about 2 weeks ago?
No.
And it bumped the graphics up a little bit.
Oh, really?
But only on the reflections on the car bonnets. So that's all. Okay. That's all that's a bit different.
There was one guy in that office who's like, "We, I can't believe we didn't do this. Yeah. No, I'm doing it. I'm staying behind. His, you guys leave."
His little side project has been Car Bonnet Simulator 16. He's like, what did it, "I'm going to get it in there."
But what did it look like before the patch? Did you just look at a car bonnet and it was just like a stick figure staring back at you?
Yes, basically. Well, you'd kind of go underneath street lights and it wouldn't reflect. It would just be a normal flat color.
Right, okay.
Which took me way out of the moment. Took me out of the game.
You know
completely.
What's weird? That's the exact same upgrade that GTA 3 had when it went from the PS2 to the original Xbox.
Really?
There's a little bit of trivia for you. Yeah. They just made the cars a little shinier.
What year was that?
2001, but then 3. 2001 it came out on the PS2, but then 2003.
That's Mafia 3's excuse.
I would have been 12 and then 14.
I would have been 14 and then...
I would have been...
16.
15 and then... Wait, 17?
Wait.
What?
How old were you in 2001, Dave?
I'm not talking about it. 2001. Was I 2001? I was about 26.
Okay.
Yep.
That'll do.
I think. Anyway, but...
And what about 2003?
I don't know. I don't remember that much.
Probably.
So basically, with Mafia 3, the other thing the patch addressed was costumes. You could only wear one type of clothes.
Yes.
The whole game.
Yeah. Right.
And then they released a patch which opened up like a coat hanger in your room, and you could therefore click on that and then get all these different costumes on.
That seems kind of minor, but a lot of my problems with that game were initially the graphics and then the lack of customizability.
That just sounds like the game wasn't finished.
That's exactly what I feel as well. Yeah. I think that's true.
Well, we talk about this on the show a lot. Like, this is a big problem in games now where everything's pre-order and everything's kind of locked in.
Yeah.
And so this trend where... it's just okay for a game to come, like Street Fighter.
Oh yeah,
the last
that wasn't
one
finished at all.
Yeah, well, no, it didn't even have a single player mode in it. It's just like you just have to cop it and wait 6 months for a patch to come out.
Yeah,
it's kind of not cool.
Well, like, and the story mode wasn't even there.
It's going to be way more interesting to see what that's like in 10 years or whatever. If you want to go back and revisit one of these things, but then all the online services get shut down, all of that shit, so you can't download that patch anymore.
Yeah.
So if every single game has like a 20 gigabyte fucking patch coming out on the first day of release, and then you no longer have access to that in 10, 15 years, what's it going to be like going back and seeing those ones?
Yeah, I have noticed a few months ago I saw in JB they had some Wii games for sale, like Mario Kart on the Wii, and it had a little sticker on it going...
Like urine.
Yeah, a lot like urine, yes.
Wait, what? it had a little sticker on it going, hey, just so you know, when you buy this, you can't... None of the online stuff on this works anymore.
Yeah, fuck.
Because they've shut the servers down.
Yeah.
And it's kind of... I mean, to still be selling it, it's a little bit of a big old bummer, if you ask me.
It's weird because, like, I would like for everything to exist forever, including myself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's games are way more temporary and designed around that than they ever have been. Like the Hitman game that came out this year contacts the servers and all that shit. You have to be online to play, but it's a single player game.
Yeah.
So
right.
10 years or whatever, or maybe less when a company shuts down or something.
Totally.
That shit happens really weirdly and can come out of nowhere. Then you're not going to be able to play this single player thing anymore.
It is a really weird kind of, and I think, I mean, you know, you could go to a garage sale tomorrow and find an old Nintendo 64, plug it in and you just play the games. But all this
stuff. What's the address of the garage sale?
The address?
Yeah.
That
I can find the Nintendo 64 tomorrow.
6969.
Yep.
Dinner for Two Avenue.
Okay.
Pleasureville.
So the name of the street. Sexual with me again.
That
the name
good
of
improv.
The street is a phrase.
What's the postcode?
6969.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Oh, great.
So that's, where's that, Perth?
Yeah, it is actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not finishing games. Hitman's another good example. Mm. That was like, what? Oh, we've got an intro and one level.
Yeah.
Here, buy this.
Yeah.
You know, have the season pass.
Well,
it's almost like crowdfunding.
It's funny how, like, we just cop it with games, but imagine if they pre-sold tickets to movies and but months and months in advance, and then you'd go along and it's like, oh, hey, we haven't written an ending yet, so just come back in like 6 months' time.
Yeah.
Your ticket's still valid and just sit here for 10 minutes and just watch the ending.
Yeah.
Hey, mate, Black Mirror episode, anyone? Maybe we'll get there. Who fucking knows?
And people always make the comparison to TV shows, like, oh, it's episodic stuff, like with TV shows.
Right.
TV shows are free.
Yes.
And they're also like, they've always been like that. So I don't know. There's something strange about this thing that used to be, you know, people expected it. And it's been a slowly chipping away thing at people's expectations. Mm. Like with all the microtransaction stuff as well. It used to be that people went, fuck that idea completely. Yeah. But then they got used to it a little bit. So they're like, okay, it can exist in free mobile games. Mm. And now there's like full priced, big, like that most recent Call of Duty has a whole bunch of fucking microtransaction things like on a phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a full price thing as well. So you've already paid however many dollars to get in the door.
Especially games like Call of Duty with it's pay to win. So if you're not if you're not buying the upgrades, you're not going to win.
That game fucking sucks.
Well,
because Dave, you play just from knowing you a little bit IRL, not to brag, but you play most things, right? Like you're a pretty avid gamer,
bit of a renaissance man.
You're sitting here, you're sipping a Mountain Dew. I know what you're about.
I'm guts deep, mate.
But you go in on most things, right? You tend to keep up pretty active on those kinds of things.
Yeah, I like to play all the AAA titles, pretty much all of them, and then I pick random stuff.
Random.
And the other genre, apart from historic sandboxes, turn-based real-time strategy. I really like turn-based games like Fire Emblem. I played a new one called Mordheim, City of Cunts.
That's a Games Workshop one.
Yeah.
I think it might have been on sale on Steam, and I maybe watched the trailer. It looks kind of cool. Because I used to play those tabletop games, and it's basically the same thing. It's like the turn-based.
Did you play that actual one, like Mordheim, or just another Games Workshop one?
I played Inquisitor. Do you remember that? I played that one. That was cool. The miniatures were a bit bigger, so you could get more detail in the painting. I'm a fucking nerd.
Yeah, this is awesome, Ben. I didn't know this about you.
Yeah, cool.
I used to paint the odd miniature as well. Mm. How tiny do your brushes have to be?
I
got a pretty tiny brush.
And I ended up never bothering because I fucking sucked at painting them, and it made me really sad because I just fucked them. I paid they were like $80
they
for
were
a half
ridiculously
a foot
expensive.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And then I just painted it like an idiot and went, oh, okay, well, this isn't for me.
Right.
I have to say, and there's no judgment in this, but the painting models thing is something I've just never understood.
You like to draw. How do you know? It's very artistic.
Yeah. I don't know. I just guess I'd be really bad at it.
You see them get to go from like a kind of a gray lead to almost kind of like a realistic, colorful thing in the color schemes that you pick yourself.
Mm. Yeah,
that's I think the joy of it.
Let's do a special episode all about model trains.
Right.
Oh, did you know, coming out for PSVR, there's going to be a model train game.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And you don't even have to have your own basement. You can just put on your VR helmet and away you go.
You do have to have gone through a divorce before it'll let you play.
Yeah, that's ideal.
That would be amazing, a story mode in it where it's the relationship beginning, marriage, then the marriage breaking down, then divorce court. It's like 40 hours of gameplay before you get to the model train set.
Watch your kids being taken away in full 3D.
Yeah,
it feels like you can reach out and not touch them anymore.
You get to look out the back window and see her with Pierre the gardener in full VR off. Oh, no.
Yeah. The work starts to slip. You use the motion controllers to bring the bottle up to your mouth.
you find yourself looking at the newspaper at like secondhand train sets. Oh, maybe.
No, so that's the real turning point where it's like, you have to leap through and there's like several different train sets that you can choose from.
Yes.
That's right.
Yep.
Maybe this is a good time to jump into this because, Dave, you're one of the only people I really know who you own VR. You own PSVR.
I own the whole company.
Oh, really? You're a shareholder.
I do. I bought it.
Can we have one?
Yes, you can all have one.
Yay!
Hey, do you know what would be great? Because there's four people of us.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a game coming out at the beginning of next month, I think, called Star Trek Bridge Commander.
Yeah.
And there's four. It's a four-player game. So there's a captain, and then there's a science man or woman, and then there's another person and another person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a huge Star Trek fan, but it would be good to.
You Chekhov and you're Scotty. You'd be Scotty, obviously. Sure.
Hey, wait a minute. I thought we'd drop this BS. So.
Oh yeah, you're supposed to walk out now.
Does BS stand for Big Scottish?
Hey, damn
it. This is the other podcast. We're not doing that on this one.
So what that Star Trek game? Cool. What's that? Is that on PS?
That's on PSVR, yeah.
Oh, okay, right.
Exclusive, I'm not sure, but
I think it is.
We
yeah.
should try and get our hands on three more headsets
oh,
and then
man.
We can play it. So my understanding is the captain sitting in a chair going, blah, 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 we need to do this thing now. And then everyone has their own little jobs that
yeah.
is unique to their stations.
Did
That's
you
pretty
play,
cool.
Space Team?
Yes.
On the phone? It sounds like that, right? Like a more sort of advanced version of that.
Yeah.
Where Space Team was this thing. I don't know if I ever... We should play it sometime. It's like a dollar on the phone. And what you get is like you each have a little panel of like these weird controls. So it'll say like I was going to say Velociraptor, but...
Velocity?
Okay,
voluptuous.
Voluptuous Velociraptor. And there's like a little knob there that you can turn to.
Oh, wait.
Hell
now
yeah.
I'm interested.
Zero to a higher number. Let's say two-digit number... What would you say?
70 is probably a bit high.
But 70 would be too high. 68
is not high enough.
I think 68 is too low, though. Yeah. All right, 69. So then one person gets a little notification on their panel saying, turn the Velociraptor to 69.
Okay.
And then
and make it
you
more
would have to yell that out.
Make
it voluptuous.
Give it some
so
curves.
Yell that out. I spin the little knob to 69. And then...
Oh, that sounds like a cool game.
I'm turned on by this.
I have no... I have no idea what you're saying. I have no idea what you're describing.
Make it confusing with the terms. But it makes sense when you play it and it's really fun. It's basically yelling at each other like, do this.
Everyone has a small piece of information.
Yeah.
And they have to say it to someone else who... as the receiving end of the information.
Okay.
Did I just make it more confusing?
You did a little bit. But Adam's description made it sound like there was going to be an appearance by a little man in a boat at some point.
Oh, right. Is that a Jurassic Park thing?
Adam Knox has not found a way.
Do you know what? PSVR lends itself to that kind of gameplay because of the fact that, you know, you have a headset on and you're being projected within that headset a certain view.
Yeah.
And there's a game called Keep Talking and No One Explodes.
Oh,
yeah.
So basically the person with the headset on is in front of like a giant bomb with lots of levers and dials and whistles and bells. And then you don't have to have a headset, but there can be a multiple of other people who have... I think an on-screen manual or a manual in their phone that's on a website.
Or you can have a full-printed, like, big paper folder manual about how to defuse this bomb.
Yeah, and so they're reading the things to the person with the VR headset.
Yeah.
Obviously,
so all they can see is just the bomb, and they'll say, like, oh, there's a blue switch, and it's blinking three times a second. What do I do? And then they have to look up in the manual, the other people who can't see that, blue switch three times a second.
Right.
It's more fun than it sounds of just like...
But that's true of literally any video game that you describe
exactly.
in words.
You jump on a bunch of mushrooms.
Oh, that does sound good.
So, Dave, you've had VR for a little while now.
I did that in Nimbin once.
How do you...
I played Mario because I got bored of it.
How are you finding it? Are you regularly going in on it, or was it a thing where... Is the novel... novelty still there? Like, is there stuff that you're excited to just like keep coming back to and keep playing?
Yeah, look, I think to be honest, nothing compares to your first session with it, because you know you whack it on and then you're just amazed by that new kind of version of gaming that you'd never experienced before. So I think it's important what you play first, and the thing I played first was the Batman game, experience.
Yep.
And it's great. Like, you know, you're tinkling away at a piano in Wayne Manor, and next thing the whole floor just goes down and the Batcave opens up and there's bats flying around, and that's fantastic. Mm. But what's interesting about it is it's very short. It's only about an hour and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is you can't walk around as Batman. You're kind of teleporting to different parts of the map or the game, which is... At first I was like, why the hell is this the case? And then I realized, having played another game called The Robinson Experience, that if you walk around, you actually get quite nauseous.
Yeah.
Like it upsets your stomach.
Right.
Balance is weird. And I think specifically what it has to do is with strafing. Like if you're moving a certain way while looking another way.
Oh, yeah.
Like that's when your stomach goes, I can't hack.
Yeah. Right.
Nauseous, so.
I've heard that the way around that, because I've not tried VR yet, but if you put the player in a cockpit, then it subverts that.
Cockpit games are great for
that.
Yeah, it's weird because the cockpit anchors you. It's like being in a car and just like looking at something that's stationary. So you're right, cockpit games are great. So Battlezone's fine. Valkyrie Eve is fine. There's a Star Wars game coming out on 6th of December.
Yeah, there's the X-Wing game,
I think.
Yeah.
It's free for all owners of Battlefront.
Oh, right. Cool.
It's an X-Wing mission, which apparently it's the best thing that's ever been made by a human.
Wow.
I've seen one particular article.
Oh, excellent.
I think it's a big call. Like, penicillin's been out for a while and stuff. But, yeah, cockpit
penicillin's
games are great.
The ultimate VR experience, I think.
It really is. Yes.
Very recovery.
Based on what you've based on what you've played on it so far and liked and not liked, what for you now, what would you really like to see come out on it? What would be the ideal kind of VR game?
I'm looking forward to this X-Wing mission. I had hoped it was going to be a Star Wars trench run, but I don't think it is. Mm. But I think that would be the best thing to do that in a VR headset.
So your ideal,
like that whole thing.
Your ideal kind of game is like flying around,
like recreate a cinematic experience that makes sense for the accoutrement, like stuck in a cockpit and an amazing kind of experience thing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I guess that is being inside a world that you've been a fan of for a long time.
Yeah.
If
it's like a brand new thing, it's like, well, okay, I'm just seeing this for the first time.
Sure.
Like, who cares? Whereas
I
guess it is a lot more exciting to kind of like, oh, yeah, like I'm in a TIE fighter. Like, this is what I wanted since I was 10.
I'm inside Zoo magazine. This is amazing.
I'm inside the house that I lived in with my wife and children again.
Yeah, I don't know. So do you feel like, I don't want to say normal games, but like, you know, stuff like, would you want to play an Assassin's Creed game in VR? Like, would you want to be locked in for like 30 hours or whatever?
Do you know what's very interesting is Ubisoft, who make Assassin's Creed, have made a game which is fantastic. It's called Eagle Flight.
Yeah.
And it's one of the better ones. What's that?
I bet it's about... It doesn't matter. It's about an eagle flying, definitely, and I asked what it was about, but just do explain what it's about, please.
Basically, you start... It's in Paris.
Yeah, I didn't expect that, okay.
It's, it's after the world... After civilization fails, so Paris is all overrun by trees, and there's animals that have escaped from the zoo, so there's like elephants running
they
around and horses and stuff.
They always fucking do that. Yeah. The zoo's always the first thing to go in an apocalypse. Just those gates, the second the meteor like gets learned about, the gates...
The Last of Us famously had the giraffe scene.
Giraffes everywhere, lions standing on top of like, you know, a car or something.
I Am Legend.
Yeah.
Animals that generally aren't native to that area.
Yes.
But have come from
somehow
the zoo.
Flourished in the apocalypse. Yes.
Even polar bears.
Yeah. In what way is a hippo in New York going to survive the apocalypse? How is that possibly going to happen?
Lots of bagels. Yeah. But it's really good fun because you start off and you're kind of perched and you're looking around, and what they've done is they've created graphics so that you've got like a brow and you've got like your beak.
Oh.
And so you're looking around and you got this kind of feeling like your face is an eagle.
Right.
Cool. And then you can kind of fly around, and what's great about it and what stops the problem of motion sickness is you just fly wherever you point your head. So you're like pointing up and you fly up and down and fly down.
And then...
Instead of turning your head to turn, you kind of tilt it, because if you turned your head, you'd be just facing different directions and you'd strangle yourself on the cord from the VR headset. So
now I'm interested.
That's the ending of the train simulator.
So it's very, very good. And
nice.
At first, it feels like it's just like a tech demo to show you what they can do. But then as it goes on and you unlock different kind of game types, it becomes a full game and there's lots of fun stuff that you can do. So I recommend that one highly. Mm. I think it's a fantastic thing.
That sounds cool.
So it's a bit like the Assassin's Creed thing in Paris where you're jumping off things onto hay bales.
That seems to be like predominantly what people are focusing on with VR stuff is things that are like roughly adjacent to things that already exist, but like trying to focus on the differences that VR brings. And I guess like maybe you don't want to be playing a VR thing for more than an hour or so.
Totally.
You know? Maybe that's enough to be in, you know, such an intense sort of
thing. If I had one, I'd be happy with a cool new little like experience kind of thing that goes for a couple of hours. One cool new one of them a month would kind of do me. I don't want to be be in it all. Because also I imagine the sheen would kind of wear off a little bit.
Yeah, it does
and,
a little
and
tiny
you'd
bit.
Sort of, you'd sort of lose the thrill of putting it on.
Sheen would turn into an Estevez.
It's best suited to kind of experiences like you said. Like there's one called PSVR Worlds And one of them is you're just in like a cage and you can see a boat above you in the water and it lowers you down through the depths of the sea and there's different animals pop up and stuff.
Yeah.
It's quite cool. I mean, some people I'd say would feel quite claustrophobic about it.
Yeah.
Suspending your disbelief and realizing that you're in a safe space is good because you can kind of go down and you see all the sharks and stuff like that. It's very nice. It's a good example of something that's suited to it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, before we move on, Dave, we got to ask.
Okay.
You watched a sweet porno on that thing yet? The listeners are dying to know.
I don't know that you can with PS.
It's probably a closed...
Maybe that's...
Yeah.
That's maybe more your Vive or your Oculus, but... I don't know whether I'd be... I don't know. It seems like a weird thing to do. I think the other thing that seems weird is horror games. I'm not interested in those. Put on... There's a demo on PSVR of The Kitchen, which is from the forthcoming Resident Evil. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's Gordon Ramsay just yelling at you.
Gordon Ramsay just yelling at your face.
Calling you a fucking toilet again and again and again.
You fucking cupboard! What are you...
Terrible.
That would actually be pretty cool, a VR game where it's like you're in a reality show, like you're a contestant in a reality show.
Having to do all the cooking things, like you could imagine it's just like a Overcooked or whatever, something like that.
Yeah,
but with Gordon Ramsay yelling at you.
Yeah, or like The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or a third one. Survivor.
Actually, that's something, because obviously VR has applications outside of gaming, and virtual reality tourism is a thing that I've been reading about a little bit. Where
Google Earth just brought out a thing. Exactly.
Yeah. 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 Which
apparently
I think
it's amazing.
Yeah. It's the perfect application.
The thing is, with those things, I think you can't actually move through the environment. I think because they use a camera that's just stationary on a tripod, or perhaps on a flatbed truck moving through the environment. You don't have control over where you go.
It depends on what level you are. I watched a little bit of video of it, and like if you're at the sort of more zoomed out city level, they have all the 3D modeling on buildings and stuff now on Google Maps.
Yes.
So from quite a height, it looks like you're there. And then if you do go down to the ground, it is like you can see in 360 motion, but you can't walk down the street.
Yeah.
You can just move to the next bit,
which is kind of
what VR already does a little. Just the teleporting.
Totally.
Thing.
That's what the Batman game is like.
Yeah.
I'd like to see someone make a VR version of the maze from the game show Amazing.
Oh, yes.
How good would that be? Yeah. Every child's dream to run around that maze.
And then
and
at
being
the end,
able
you
to
get
do
to
it.
Play Mario Kart 64 in VR.
Yes.
It's VR of you going to school on Monday morning and you've won a copy of Encyclopedia Britannica that all of Year 6 has to share.
Look at my Yo-Ho Diablo!
Okay, let's move on and talk about a bit of news that's come out this week.
Let's do it.
The other day, they announced the first of the DLC for Uncharted 4 on the PlayStation 4. Now, you were a big Uncharted 4 fan, Dave.
I got all the way through to the very ending of the game. I actually sat down and properly finished it. Great game.
Yeah.
I think we all did too, yeah?
Yes, we did.
What did you think?
I thought it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was fantastic. I mean, Libertalia was a great kind of MacGuffin to set off his adventure, and the design of it was fantastic.
Yep.
And there were some really good puzzles in there.
Would you have liked?
And I liked going to Scotland.
He admitted it. Would you have liked more segments where you're standing on a ledge and the ledge kind of slowly disintegrates under you and you go whoa 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 whoa, or was the balance just enough for you?
I found myself getting surprised when I jumped onto a ledge and it didn't crumble. I was like, what is this bullshit?
Oh wow, they've pulled another rabbit out of the hat. They've done it again. Surprise at every turn. So what this DLC, it's survival co-op mode where it's like waves of enemies coming at you. Can you play on the same system or is it...
They didn't show any split screen, so I'm going to assume not.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because it's such a graphically really well-made game.
I know, but something like that, I couldn't. Would rather sit in the same room as someone. And
it's just that sort
of
thing
kind
in general.
There's frame rate issues with that kind of stuff. Yeah.
But I think it looks cool. I mean, I would much rather do some... I kind of would prefer like a wave of enemies thing rather than... I haven't really played the online multiplayer at all. Because I just think I wouldn't be good enough and I just get wiped out.
I think we did, maybe I was playing it, we played it a bit at your house.
We gave it a couple of hours or whatever.
It was fun, but what do you think, Dave? Have you played it online at all?
No, I don't like playing games online. I like playing single-player campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, particularly games which are kind of FPS ones where you're just in a small map and there's just chaotic people running around everywhere.
Yeah.
I love I love AI and the way AI behaves, and you do something and there's a logical reaction, whereas human beings are just erratic. They're running around everywhere. Yep. I just don't get that thrill from playing those games. But having said that, this sounds good because it's co-op.
Yeah. Totally.
I do like co-op with other people.
There was this cool survival mode at that you unlocked at the end of Resident Evil 4.
Yes.
Which I sunk a lot of time into. Just the mercenaries mode.
Yeah,
just running around and just survive for as long as you can.
That was good.
Never-ending wave. I find that stuff really, like the kind of challenge thing where you can crack a time or a score and you have to outdo your own time. I'd kind of much prefer that versus playing against crazy other people on the
and this
level.
Looks good in that they showed a little like on fire pirate boss.
Mm-hmm. What?
So it looks like it's going to have little interesting enemies throughout.
Yeah.
So you're not just doing like 50 waves of soldiers or whatever.
Yeah.
I love doing 50 waves of soldiers.
I prefer 19 more waves on top of the 50 if I can get it. But it looks fun. I saw a thing. I don't know if this is right or not, that the next DLC will apparently be a more story-focused thing.
Well, they said that from day one. They said that when the game came out that there would be a story mode DLC.
So it's going to, and apparently the thing is it'll be a separate sort of standalone thing about Sam, who was Nathan Drake's brother. Yeah.
Right, because he's absent for a bit of your single player story.
This will be a spoiler. You play as him for a little section.
Yes.
And doesn't that turn out to be a lie that he told you as well? So maybe it'll show the real shit that happened to him or whatever.
Yep.
But how weird is playing an entire mission that didn't exist in reality?
Yeah.
It's so weird.
Isn't that weird? Yeah.
Yeah.
I called this at the time. I'd like to restate my position.
Yes.
I think that, again, spoiler, but it came out ages ago. So he, at the end of the game, him and Sully kind of go, hey, let's us go up.
Oh,
together.
Yeah, sick. Yeah. That'd be good.
I reckon it'll be a whole separate new thing, and it's the two
Sam
of them
and Sully's adventures.
on a little adventure somewhere.
Yeah, that'd be great.
At least that's what I would like to see,
because
it's all set up for it. Maybe it's a whole DLC of you as that kid walking around the fucking island for another half
hour. Yeah.
Can't do
taking
anything.
Books out of bookshelves and stuff.
They're not on the boat. Come on, dog.
I really liked that ending, though. It was great.
Oh, I thought it was great, too. Yeah. But I think
it was fine.
You ever play those games and go, hang on a second, this guy, what's his fingers made of? He can jump from any height and just catch a ledge.
Just grab a ledge and not.
Ledge.
Yeah, we talked about that a lot at the time.
I can do that.
He'd have the hugest lats as well. From like,
it's a weird decision that you have to make as a game developer of we want this all to be really realistic and, you know, but then there's just got to be liberties that you take, otherwise the game would be not fun.
They must get into fights, though, about like whether it's ridiculous for him to jump 100 feet versus like, oh, well, 60's fine.
Yeah.
But any more than that looks really stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to have that.
But he can only carry two guns at once because we already put them all otherwise.
Yeah, when he's killed like 7,000 men.
Yeah.
And he's collected 94 treasures.
Like, fine, let me just grab onto a ledge whenever I want. Let me jump all this distance.
Yeah.
Then also let me have fucking 50 guns at once.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
And
just stretch it.
And a special magical rope that he can reclaim
it
doesn't get caught on anything.
But if you have him swing, you know, a kilometer on the magic rope and then land after a 2-mile drop, as long as he's going, whoa, 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 whoa. Like, as long as it sounds like it's difficult for him, he made it.
As long as he hits one sheet of corrugated iron and then falls to the ground.
Yeah.
But then I always found it funny if you there'd be certain bits where if you hit that bit, you're just meant to die. Like, the game is just programmed that way.
Yeah.
So you can fall off a gap and it's only like a foot drop.
Yeah.
And it's just his body just goes ragged immediately.
Yeah. Black and white.
Driving the car off the cliff was always very funny.
The mechanics
of that, where all the characters are like glued into their seats.
Yeah, so, like, mid-conversation as well. They're going like, oh, Nathan, it's been years since... Whoa!
No one falls out of the car. They just stay like,
They're all glued in there. The seatbelts are still on, but it will not help
the
them.
The car's like upside down. Extremely good.
Those Jeep missions were good, where you had the winch and you had to do puzzles with the winch.
The graphics, like it's I think we've talked about it before. It's like graphics has stopped being something that we remark upon, but that game, like the mud effects in the African part was like amazing.
All the details and stuff, the animation was so fluid. That game was great.
They had good reflections on the bonnets.
Great reflections on the bonnets.
Not on day one though. That took a while to come in. That would be funny if they imagine if they just had put updates for Uncharted 4. Where like they did that something about the game is now super fucked up, and they don't announce it, and they're just, you know what I mean, because it came out so long ago.
Yeah.
And they're just waiting for that one rogue to kind of go, I'm going to play through this game again.
Oh yeah.
What do you mean? Like,
why is DK mode all of a sudden on this game? Everyone's head is really huge.
Why does Nathan Drake have so many freckles now? That's a weird thing to patch in.
Why is he in blackface for the whole game? Weird.
Hey, it's Trump's America, baby.
Other news of the week: the Nintendo Switch. We got to talk about it every week because there's more and more leaks coming out.
Oh yeah.
Dave, you been following the Nintendo Switch?
Not as much as it sounds like you have.
It's all Tommy ever does.
All I think about.
Literally, we've been doing it every week for over a year.
Yeah.
It has a weird controller. Does the controller go in some way? Does it turn into a transformer like Megatron?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. What so goes on? It goes from a home console to a portable.
Oh yeah.
And when it's portable, you can slide the sides off and use them like a nunchuck.
Oh no way!
Kind of
right.
thing.
Yeah. So we've been obsessed with it. Nintendo's bizarre strategy where they've only announced that it's coming out in March. They've shown glimpses of some games. They, in January, are going to do a presentation where they say, this is what's coming out, this is how much it is, this is the tech specs.
Yeah.
But then, meanwhile, every day...
We assume. They've not actually even necessarily said that that's exactly what they're going to say, but surely.
But that's still a little while off, and every day there's more leaks of, like, here's a game that's being developed for it, this game is being pushed back, and it just makes it... more and more crazy that they are not on top of this themselves.
It's very much so. It seems like something they should really get their shit together for, considering the Wii U. I've heard is Splatoon is coming out for it.
Yep.
And also Breath of the Wild or Breath of Life.
Yep.
Breath of the Wild.
Yep.
Which are coming out for Wii U anyway, or are already out in one case.
Yep. Yeah, so... Well, Breath of the Wild apparently is bumped back now to like June or something.
And this is from the leaks from this week.
Yeah,
so that's not necessarily a retailer,
I think it was Target.
Yeah.
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 Like Nintendo are fucking having all their meetings just on Twitter or something.
Yeah.
It's the weirdest thing that every bit of information not only has been leaked, but has been completely accurate.
Yeah.
That like it hasn't missed a beat, a lot of them. It's really weird.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre strategy. But so
June next year.
This is another leak. Apparently Ubisoft are developing an RPG that is a crossover between the Mario universe.
Do you mean a rocket-propelled grenade?
Yeah, that's when it's a portable, you can like throw it at something and it'll blow up. Apparently they're developing a role-playing game that's across between. I just didn't want it to happen again.
He was going to jump on you again.
Yeah. It's a cross between the Mario universe and the Rabbids universe. The Rabbids,
the raving Rabbids.
Oh, shit.
Which.
Finally!
I know. Yeah,
that's so weird.
The one we've all been asking for.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, raving Rabbids and what else?
Mario.
That is bizarre.
I know, and it's going to be day one, and Nintendo were kind of overseeing it to make sure it kind of tonally fits in with the Mario world, but I don't know. Those rabbits, man,
they must have, the people who made them must have been so fucking furious when the minions got big.
Yeah.
Because they are identical. Yeah. They're just minions with ears.
Why does every new Nintendo system have to have at least 6 Rabbids games on it?
Yeah.
Who are these people that are clamoring for more?
I think it's kids. Children, I think it sells well.
Yeah.
They've got a TV show spin-off and all that
shit. That's true. Yeah. But it's always day one. There's always a fucking Rabbids game and it's just...
They're back!
Yeah. Those things that you don't give a flying fuck about.
But maybe, like, those Mario RPGs are often pretty good. But then Ubisoft's doing it, so that'll be weird.
That's very strange.
Yeah.
Right. It's all a bit weird. And again, like, I don't know. I don't know why they don't just jump on it and go... Well, hey, this stuff is all just leaking anyway. We look like we have no control over our internal affairs. Let's just bump up the date of the... Let's just do a surprise announce now.
Yeah.
Seems ridiculous.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, it's probably not... maybe it's damaging them. I don't know. I guess that with this Rabbids thing as well, just thinking about it, it would have been Ubisoft going, no one gives a fuck about the Rabbids anymore.
Sure.
We've put so much money into drawing these stupid little bunnies. Yeah. Let's get Mario involved.
Is this a leak or a press release?
The Rabbids thing? Yeah. That's a leak.
Okay. Right, okay.
So it's like Nintendo are kind of going, oh, we can't think of any more new IPs. Let's combine existing ones.
Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
They've been doing that for years as well. Like they had the Sonic and Mario Olympics thing. Yeah. And
Well, another rumor is that in the first 6 months of the system, there'll be a new IP that they're working on.
Right.
It's going to be something.
I mean, Splatoon was that. That's the most recent.
Been successful. Yeah. Well, let's because another rumor is that Pokemon Sun and Moon will be coming to the Switch
right
in the first 6 months as kind of like an upgraded version.
Yep.
And I guess we should talk about this. So that came out this week, Pokemon Sun and Moon on the
Certainly
Nintendo
did.
3DS.
Yeah.
You and I have been playing it, Ben.
Yes, we have.
You're further along than me.
Yep.
Dave, you've not been playing it.
No, I haven't been playing it. I think the last Pokemon I played was the one before, not the one before this one, but the one before that one.
Is that right. X and Y?
Yeah, X and Y. I had X, yeah.
Right.
And I got halfway through it and I was like, I'll finish that one day before I play another one, which is kind of weird.
Well, the last one I played before that was, before this one was Diamond and
Pearl. Sapphire?
Maybe the one, the one on the DS.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was Diamond and Pearl, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Would you be a happy boy or a girl?
What?
I just killed the podcast.
Wait. Anyway, what?
Pokemon Pearl Necklace. That was what I played.
How did you feel about the Sun and Moon? Have you both got...
So
I've got Moon.
I only started playing it yesterday. Yep. I got Moon as well.
Why'd you both get Moon, you fucking idiot?
This is for the secret ending monster that you get to be.
The legendary.
You told me that you'd gotten Moon, and I went, well, for the sake of discussion, I'll get Sun. And then I was just looking at them on the shelves, and I was like, I don't want Sun. I couldn't bring myself to do it, even for the sake of journalism. I was like, I want Moon.
What are the legendary monsters on each one?
Oh, I don't know.
I actually have no idea.
Do you have the case here somewhere? Did you get a version of the case, or was it digital?
It was within arm's reach.
Weird. Ben is sitting near a doorway, and he just literally reached into the doorway and pulled out a copy of the game.
Seemingly out of thin air.
Yeah.
It was almost like a Vegas magic.
From like 2 meters above the ground.
Baby, I'm a showman.
Okay, so it's like some bat.
Yeah, it's some big flying moon bat thing.
That looks cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So my history with Pokemon is that the last one I played was Pokemon Red.
Great.
So I've been out of the game for a long time.
And I will say that Diamond and Pearl...
got dragged back in for one last heist.
Yeah.
Diamond and Pearl, when I didn't really get that far into it. Similar to Dave, I wasn't halfway through. I was still pretty early on.
Right.
Just, again, I'll come back to this eventually. And was enjoying it, but just never did.
Yeah. Well, I have spoken a lot on this podcast about how I like the Final Fantasy games.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And I haven't really played a JRPG for ages, let alone one I've enjoyed. And this, I forgot, is a classic JRPG.
Japanese rocket-propelled grenade.
The Two Stooges in the doorway.
Yeah, all right.
But it's classic. It's reminiscent of the great ones as well, like your early Final Fantasies.
Cool.
But you start with your funny little starter Pokemon. I think it's Litten.
Litten, the lit kitten.
Yes, lit AF. Because I tend to always do that. I did Charmander with Pokemon Red. I'm a fire guy. I don't know why.
Yep.
Seems more powerful for some reason.
Yeah.
Even though it's balanced perfectly.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's cool.
What are the other ones?
Rowlet. Owl. Yep. He's the grass one. I went with him.
Yeah.
And Popplio the fucked seal.
A little seal.
What is Popplio?
Looks like the roof seal.
I understand Rowlet. It's an owl who growls, I guess. Or just an owl.
Sure.
Yeah.
I understand Litten. It's a fiery kitten. What does Popplio mean?
I don't know. Probably some
a seal pup, I guess.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, yeah, okay.
A Latin one.
Yeah. It looks like it's dressed like Pagliacci the Sad Clown.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, that sounds like the best one.
Yeah,
for you, perhaps.
Yeah.
But so I've been playing quite a bit of it. I've finished the first island. Mm-hmm. And the intro stuff, which Tommy is still making his way through, is pretty long.
Yeah.
It's pretty, a bit tedious.
Yeah.
It's very basic. And that goes on for a while. Once you get into it, it's pretty much classic Pokemon.
But I will say a couple of
differences.
I'm enjoying that because it's like all the other ones, for the most part, well, the ones that I've played certainly, there's not really any kind of story to speak of. You just kind of are in this town, sure, and just trying to get as many Pokemon as you can and beat all the gym leaders.
Yep.
This, there's kind of a bit of a sense of mystery, and yep, it's like kind of what's going on in this town.
So
kind
it's
of thing.
You and your single mum have moved to basically Hawaii, I guess.
Yeah.
The Pokemon version of Hawaii.
Because your dad's playing with train sets.
Exactly. Oh, what a crossover.
This is setting us up for a spin-off of the train simulator.
Yeah, and basically you get there, and it sort of is still classic. It's like, hey, you like Pokemon, don't you? Go talk to the professor, and he kind of sets you up with your Pokemon.
You had a single mum in the other ones as well, I think. I think you've always had a single mum.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, maybe you had a dad, but he was just away. Because I played Gold a lot, and
right,
you could call your dad, but you never met him, and he'd always go, like, he'd always just transfer you money.
Yeah. Oh. That's like in Earthbound. That's how you get more money.
Maybe I'm thinking of Earthbound.
True, that is
Earthbound.
Maybe
I'm thinking of my own dad.
Calling your dad.
I know what I'm thinking of. But, yeah. Sorry, continue.
And then it's a little different in that there's no gyms, and there's no kind of like championship to build up to. Each island has a big boss, and each island has a little boss. And you kind of... The little boss gives you some trials. So it'll be like, go in this cave, kill a bunch... Like, not kill, but beat a bunch of Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah.
And murder a bunch of Pokemon.
Yeah.
Slit their throats.
Skin them.
bring me the corpses.
Yeah. And, like, beat a big Pokemon. You go back to the captain, you fight the captain, and then you fight the big island boss.
Okay.
And I think that's the basic structure. A little bit different from gyms and that kind of things, but... Yes, it's very similar, and it is a bit more story-driven.
I'm still pretty early on, but I haven't properly played one of those games for quite a long time now, and just even at this early stage, I just had forgotten, like, how much I just really love these games. Like, all there, like, the thing of, you know, getting a, you know, you get your starter one, then you start to catch a couple in the wild, and you want to build them up, so you're kind of switching them out in battle to kind of get their stats up a little bit.
Yeah.
Just all that stuff, that it's all there, and it's also because it looks really great.
It looks fantastic.
I think more props need to be given to the sound design as well.
Yeah.
I think the music is amazing.
Yeah, well, that's why, like, it reminds me of classic JRPGs. The music is fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And visually it's great, and there's great characterization.
What noises do the Pokemon make now?
This is what I think is really cool. They've kept, for the old ones, they've kept the little Game Boy sounds that they used to make.
They're all just different types of pigeon.
Yeah.
Basically.
It kind of is what I think is really cool about it going back, and I think you would definitely have this.
Yeah.
When you played it on the Game Boy, even though it was still really cool, but, you know, especially if you're watching the cartoon at the same time, this game now is kind of the Pokemon game that I dreamed of when I was 10 and playing it on the Game Boy.
Totally.
Where the graphics were very simplistic.
Yeah.
All the moves in battle were just very, like, basic kind of animation.
They just shift back and forth.
Yeah, and this is really fleshed out. You have to clean your Pokemon after you fight in battle.
Yeah. You have to clean them.
Yeah.
So if they have a status effect, like paralyzed or whatever, you have an option to just be like, Pokemon refresh. After the battle ends, you just hit it, and then it goes into that Pokemon, like, kind of centered on screen.
Yeah.
And you use your cursor to, like, brush off dust or use, like, medicine to, like, get rid of static electricity. Basically, you're just, like, waving.
Like a boxing coach. Like, get back in there,
totally,
buddy.
Totally. Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
You can go into the Pokedex and kind of look at them in a full 3D model, which is kind of just, like, what I always wanted.
Yeah, baby.
You can upskirt them if you want. It's kind of what I always wanted out of the Game Boy versions. I kind of wanted more realistic kind of models to, you know what I mean? Like, fact of, like, the animation. It just feels like you're more in that world.
Yeah.
And we talked a bit about this at the time. I don't know if you got into it, Dave. Pokemon Go, it kind of passed me by a little bit because it was... People talked a lot about the nostalgia of it at the time, but for me it was that really hollow nostalgia where it was just like, here's this thing that you remember.
Well, totally. Like seeing fucking someone dressed as Pluto at Disneyland or whatever. Who gives a shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's not Pluto. You can't fool me.
What an analogy.
Yeah.
What an image.
I didn't know where to go with that.
Main Street Disney World as the parade comes past you.
It's not even Pluto everyone.
I don't give a shit about this.
His name's James.
It's bullshit.
Well, Pokemon Go was very much just having a list of things.
Yeah.
Like a list of Pokemon.
You weren't playing the game. You weren't doing any of the actual elements. Whereas this, even though it's like different monsters and stuff, it is tapping into what I think the best thing of nostalgia is, and it's like we were saying with those VR experiences,
yeah,
what you want, like what you wished you could have done with it when you were 10 or 12, yeah, or whatever.
It really is the ideal Pokemon game, I think.
And so I'm fucking super into it so far.
Yeah, I'm
so
loving it.
I can't wait to play more.
Yeah. Cool.
Maybe I'll go in and get the Sun one.
Are you planning on going in, Dave? Because you have a 3DS, right?
Yeah, I do. I'm still loving Fire Emblem.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's three of them. There's three games in one.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm on the last level of the first one, so I've got heaps to go.
Right,
right.
And
right.
I'd just rather be playing that, to be
honest.
Have you
played the Animal Crossing update yet?
No.
Oh, I did. I installed it, yeah.
Because you and I were talking... I remember when that game first came out, you and I were talking about it.
Yeah.
The Animal Crossing New Leaf.
I just found it was too much like crack.
Right.
Yeah.
There's a cross between crack, Better Homes and Gardens, and checking in with your parole officer.
My auntie's house.
Basically, Adam's auntie's house.
I was saying to you at the time that we should do this, and we never got around to it. So you can visit people's towns.
Oh, yeah.
And you can then type stuff to them. And I was saying, you should advertise yourself that you'll go into people's towns and do a stand-up gig in their Animal Crossing
That is
house.
A fucking awesome idea.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We should do a tour. We should do an Animal Crossing New Leaf stand-up tour.
Oh, man.
I think that'd be really fun.
Isn't there a new one coming out in, like, next month, just before Christmas?
A new Animal Crossing?
There's a mobile phone something coming out.
Maybe we do it for the mobile phone version will be the one to
I don't know what that's going to be yet. Though. Yeah. I don't think they've properly said. Mm. And so it could just be one of those things where you draw a shirt or whatever.
Yeah. I think... knowing the mobile market and everything, they'll make it. I think it'll be pretty close to the actual building a town. And
that'd be great. If it was like Miitomo, but with Animal Crossing and moving around and that sort of shit, that could be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Pokemon Sun Moon, I'm looking forward to checking in with it a bit more as time goes on. But we were at our gig last night that we run, and I was like, I can't wait to get home and just get into bed.
It has been the thing where I have
jack off to some Pokemon.
Yeah. I have to like purposefully be like, time to take a break. Like I'm playing a lot of it. Yeah. It's fantastic. Cool.
Dave, you've been playing something that none of us have touched on that is a big release, so we should get into it. Watch Dogs 2.
Yeah, I love it.
Were you a fan of the first one?
Yeah, I love the first one. The first one was fantastic, but I think a lot of the criticisms which have been addressed now were that Chicago was a bit of a dull city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chicago is quite closed in. It was very rainy. I think they tried to go quite realistic, so it's like drizzling all the time.
That's such a shame, because like if you'd have designed that game, you'd be like, it's not my fault that Chicago's a piece of shit.
Why did we pick this city? When did we have this meeting? Chicago doesn't have very exciting landmarks. It's all very samey.
Mm-hmm. The people are rude.
Yeah.
Food's bad. I've never been to Chicago.
Deep dish pizza sucks.
Well, that was a criticism leveled at the game just generally, is that they tried for realism and it was just dull, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so, for example, the other thing was the hero was really gruff and kind of serious. And well, the whole MacGuffin was his niece had been killed, and so obviously he's going to be not exactly a ball of sunshine. And, you know, he had the same clothes on the whole time. He could get, like, small color variations, but he basically had a jumper and a trench coat and a hat on.
Yep.
But let me ask you this. What were the car bonnets like?
They were sweet. They were lovely car bonnets. So all of these criticisms kind of got addressed in the new one, but I think they went way too far the other direction. They've almost Saint Road it a bit.
Right, because I watched a video review on YouTube on the other day, and it looks very, very bright, very colourful, and a little bit silly.
It looks beyond silly to me, and to the point where like I will actively be too embarrassed to play this game. I have the feeling just from trailers and stuff like that, where like it looks, I can't remember who said this, but someone pointed out that it looks like what your dad thinks hacking is. Was that one of you guys?
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, and like, and well,
when the trailer came out, we kind of had that.
It's just so much like, it just looks like awkward marketing room, youth culture, bullshit, weird. So is it like that in the actual thing?
Yeah, well, they've opened it up in the sense that, you know, they've gone to San Francisco and the whole thing feels very open and bright and colorful. You've got the giant, you know, Golden Gate Bridge, and you've got the parks and all the different San Fran landmarks, which are great, and it's a really beautiful-looking open world. But then you're right, they have got these kind of millennials just thrown in there.
Yeah.
They're over-the-top hacker stereotypes.
Yeah.
And, well, that guy wearing the weird fucking Daft Punk helmet.
The LED mask,
Which, like, is a bizarre, like, I've watched a little clip from it as well.
It says a lot that you're too embarrassed to play it, and you live alone, so you have no
one. You live alone, but you know what I mean? Watermelon bed sheets.
That's not embarrassed as in someone will look over my shoulder and go, what are you, a hacker? Fuck you. But, like, in the sense that just that sort of...
You'll feel cringy.
Yes, yeah. Totally. Yeah. A shitty comedy. It's like I feel it a little bit with GTA as well.
Yeah.
That they, just like really on the nose parody is one of the most difficult things for me to go through.
Yeah.
So my life's fine.
By the way, Dave, we've talked about this a lot on this show. Adam Knox sleeps in a watermelon-themed bed set.
Not at the moment. I got different sheets on the bed
different
at the moment.
Ones now. Yeah. And it's a constant source of fascination for me and Ben. We really want to know what Adam Knox's house looks like.
Yeah.
Ben gave me and Adam a lift home last night, and we were pulled up out the front of his house, and we tried to get ourselves in there.
Yeah.
And we were pointless.
That wasn't a genuine attempt.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. And then you leapt out of the car and slammed the door.
No, I said come up, assuming you were joking, but you could have if you wanted. There's nothing to see. Go in the bathroom.
We're definitely going next
time. Dave, looking at this man, what would you guess that the state of his house is?
Probably like mine, I would say.
Maybe.
Like lots of shit.
Kilts
everywhere,
bagpipes on the wall.
Man, what?
It's pretty clean. I've just got like a large model train set right in the center that the whole thing is based around. No, it's just a really normal house, but it's very small because
Is it like my house?
No, it's smaller than this by quite a while.
Sometimes if you live in a small house, you don't particularly feel like entertaining because you're like, oh, everything's very cramped.
And, I've tried to before. Yeah. It sucks, and you get people sitting on my bed and stuff and looking uncomfortable because, like, you know, I don't have a chair. I can't do anything for you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Right. So you just go to a coffee place.
Okay. Let's go for coffee, guys.
All right. End of podcast.
So how deep into Watch Dogs 2 are you?
About halfway, I reckon. Okay. What I do is when I kick off an open world game, I want to unlock all the kind of abilities first. So I try and go around and do all those side missions that give you experience points that allow you to become a super hacker and to have the kind of tech unlocked so that when you go to do the missions, you have all the tools at your disposal. Mm-hmm. So I've been investing a lot of time in those... other missions, which are great. They are really good.
Much like playing the drums on Rock Band, do you feel like this has actually made you quite good at hacking in real life?
Oh. Hell yeah. hacking is weird. I don't know if you remember in the first one, but you'd hack into like a junction box and you'd go into a mini game, which was like those old ones from the 80s where you'd have like pipes and you'd turn the pipe and the water would flow through them.
Yeah,
so it's basically
like
that.
BioShock did as well.
Yes.
Yeah, right. BioShock did too. Yep. So they've kept that going in this one, but instead of being in a computer, they've actually put that puzzle onto the outside of a building. So you have to get into either security cameras to get a remote view, or you have to go into... You have a little drone, and you can fly the drone back from a distance and then go around corners, because sometimes the puzzle goes around the corner of a building.
Right.
There's one of those puzzles on the underside of a lady's vagina.
Yes.
And it's quite good. It's on the underside of the Golden Gate Bridge, and it's fantastic.
Cool.
It's
unbelievable. Cool. That's cool. So
it's interesting you bring up skirts. There was a controversy about vaginas to do with Watch Dogs 2. Did you see this?
No, tell me about this. I heard something vague about it.
What is this?
So somebody on the PS4, somebody got...
What Google alert did this come up for you for?
So, so someone
Dog's
shared
pussy.
On... I like dogs and I like cats. I don't want both at the same time. That's all it's up there for.
Yep.
Someone shared like a photo because like there are sex workers in the game. And someone killed one of them, and they're lying on the ground, and they've got a, you know, textured vagina hanging out, because it's like
what?
Those
textured one
split
like someone's design, like someone has purposefully designed
because it's like split underwear, you know, with the gap in the middle underwear. You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Dinner for two, but
gap in the I don't know.
It's underwear, but you can see the vagina.
Oh,
the
okay, sure.
Well, then that's
Crotchless.
Not very good vagina, then. No. I mean, not very good underwear.
No. No, something's gone horribly wrong.
Point is that somebody shared that on the PS4 and got banned, and then they were like, well, fuck you, it's in the game. What are you banning me for?
Yeah.
And then Ubisoft ended up coming out and saying, like, all right, we'll get rid of it. we'll get rid of this textured vagina and there. But then there's another thing where they've textured and modeled male genitalia, which is a penis.
Yeah. That's what I heard too. Yeah. I mean, I heard that a male genitalia is a penis.
I've got dog's penis, is it? But and they're leaving that one in.
What is this story? This is bizarre.
They're leaving the dick in.
They've bothered to make dicks and pussies for people in the game, for certain characters in the game.
Right.
They're going to go in and patch out the pussies and they're going to leave in the dicks.
Right.
Patch out the pussies.
That's a great song from the late 70s.
Maybe you guys can change the name of the podcast.
Patch out the pussies. Yeah.
It's a really weird thing to do because, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
That is weird.
Just leave it in.
Either leave it in or never include it.
Yeah.
Don't do this weird half
It's weird
measure.
To think of it that was someone's job to sit and do the texture for a...
I mean, you've painted them before. Or not you, but people paint them.
Sure.
You know.
People do that.
And, you know, I've seen dicks in games before. In one of the Grand Theft Autos, you could see a dick.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think in a Metal Gear Solid, you might have
seen
a solid snake at some point.
Oh, it was solid. Now.
I played a mission last night, which was fantastic in Watch Dogs 2, where you go to Burning Man.
Oh, wow.
So good.
Oh.
You're just wandering around Burning Man.
Fuck.
And that everyone's cool. Tripping out.
It sounds pretty cool. Like, I kind of almost think the over-the-top, ludicrous kind of hacker... You know, like you said, dad's take of what a hacker is. I think that would make me enjoy it more.
It could be funny potentially. It just looked like they meant it for a while. But if it's a bit sillier than that,
It's not quite Saints Row silly.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I reckon the third one could. I mean, remember Saints Row started out, like GTA, but with a bit of a more of a like a parody bent.
Yes,
and then it just went stupider and stupider.
Yeah,
I reckon this is on the cusp of going full.
Full stupid.
Dumb,
sick.
So at the moment, it's just this side of it,
which
is really interesting and fun. They've really redressed the issues that they had with the first one. Like, the main character can wear a big variety of clothing.
Mm-hmm.
There's loads of clothes shops you can go to, but like Saints Row, you have this huge open city that's sunny most of the time. There's a good sense of humor about it. And there's a recreation of Alcatraz, which seems to be brick for brick. Like, it's unbelievable.
Awesome. Wow.
It's great traveling around it and going
inside.
Nick
Cage is in there.
Yeah,
him and Sean Connery hanging out from the film The Rock.
Ed Harris.
Yeah, Ed Harris is in it as well.
Michael
Bay
directed it.
The guy from The West Wing. It's scored by Hans Zimmer, I believe.
Really?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
There is a mission on Alcatraz. It's not an official one. It's like one of those purple missions, which are an online co-op one.
Oh, okay.
Where you get to bust out a prisoner at the bottom. I think it might be based a little bit on the movie The Rock.
So. Oh, cool.
Great.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
All right, I'm in. Nice. I'm going to get that.
Yeah.
You know, for people in Australia, Target has like a big sale on the weekend.
Oh, yes.
Titanfall 2 is like $30-something.
Yeah.
You should fucking buy that game. It's really good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which one?
Titanfall 2.
Oh, is it really good?
It's great. I really like it.
It's a good single player campaign.
Yes. It's really good. It's the best shooter one that I've played in years.
Yeah.
And is it, the parts where you're outside of the Titan good or only when you're in the Titan?
All of it's great.
All of it's great.
Yeah, I really like it. And it's like $30 at Target over the weekend. So anyone in Australia, I reckon you should go get that. Anyone in America, have a bloody good Thanksgiving.
Well, I was a big fan of the Assassin's Creed series, and this kind of sounds like Ubisoft's kind of got back on track.
Yeah.
And if it's similar gameplay with a modern bent, I'd probably love it.
Which one? The
Watch Dogs 2. Yeah.
You can actually climb up buildings a bit more now than you could in the last one. So
nice.
You're getting a little bit of Assassin's Creed. Mm. You don't jump into no hay bales, though.
Mm. I'm out. I'm back out.
But you got two bits of tech. You got like a little RC car.
Yeah.
You can go wee and into little tiny gaps.
Mm-hmm.
And you got this drone thing that you can fly around. And
yeah, that looks cool. You know,
patched out a couple of the tiny gaps, though, didn't they?
Oh.
Naughty boy.
Sexual.
Before we get out of here, Nox, did you want to talk about one thing you've been playing this week?
I played Gears of War 3.
What about four, okay. Bitch?
I played through the others to
the last
get
2 months has been
four.
Hearing us.
Yeah,
it's been hearing us. Knox slowly working his way through the franchise, getting up to number four.
And honestly, it's making me more and more just go like, oh, I can't be bothered playing four.
I got fed up of those games too.
Yeah, I finished the third one. I don't know why I'm really doing it. Well, no, they're still fine, but you know, it's not.
They're a bit brotastic, aren't they?
Oh, man, like, it's almost unbearable, that shit. The third one has it, like, in the worst way as well, where, like, you bro through the whole thing. Hey, guess what? Spoilers for Gears of War 3 from 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. You bro through the whole thing. It's like, Tom, we gotta go. This is my version of...
John DiMaggio. Yep.
Dom! Blah, blah, blah. We're doing all the bro shit. We got large muscles. We're knocking our guns together like we're footballers and all this stuff.
Yep.
The fucking footballer character, this guy Coltrane, he used to play thrashball, which is what they call American football in this.
Great.
There's this section in 3 where you've got to get a bomb from one end of a football field to the other.
Oh.
And it slows down and he hears cheering and you're running with this bomb like it's a football and it's one of the lamest things.
Does he do a touchdown at
yes,
the end?
He does a touchdown thing with the bomb. He's like knocking over the locust enemies like they're just trying to tackle him.
Yeah.
It's one of the lamest things I've ever seen. But then later, there's an even lamer thing where your buddy Dom dies by heroically crashing a truck into a thing.
Yeah.
And it plays like this really slow... lyricless cover of Mad World.
No.
And it is fucking brutal to watch because it's like there's no relationship been built between these people other than we're both men who are soldiers.
Yep.
And it's just fucking lame, the story, but the shooting's still kind of fun.
Mm-hmm. It's fun,
good shooting dynamics, but like the chainsaws on the guns and like we don't just have grenades, we got grenades on chains.
Yeah.
If Gears of War was a person, it would vote Trump.
Yes, 100%. And get in your face about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'd be playing fucking music out of his speakers on his phone on the train, you know? That's who Gears of War is.
That's right.
Well, I can't wait for in a month's time when we finally hear the view of 4.
Yeah. I'm going to do it.
So I guess we should wrap up this week, right?
I
reckon, Gears of War would listen to Sound of Silence by Disturbed.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's probably in Gears of War 5. Like, it'll be... Oh, my God. on that level, those games are trash. But in the good shooting way, they're fine.
Dave, we're about to wrap this up. Usually when we wrap up here, we tend to talk a bit of shit about Demi Lardner before we head out of here.
Right.
Would you like to contribute to that?
That's Demi actually Lardner. Become like a tradition
new
now.
Thing.
Man, I want to give her like a noogie. Is that what they're called? Where you put them in a headlock and rub their head a bit with your knuckles?
Yes.
That's a noogie.
That's what I want to do. To Demi Lardner.
That's a noogie.
Yeah.
That's our new catchphrase.
When the moon hits your eye, that's a noogie.
So from us and from Dave, Demi, go fuck yourself.
Yep.
But if anyone's listening to this as the first one, they just think we actually hate a woman called Demi Lardner.
Yeah.
All right.
That's what
we
I want from
we
this
don't. Bit. Secretly, she is our friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It started because Demi listens every week and is always...
Hello, Demi. You're okay.
Hello, Beyonce again.
Sup. Guys, thanks so much for listening. We've got the PayPal, paypal.me/filthypod. If you would like to chip in to our gaming fund.
Yep. And if you'd like us to play a specific game, say that in your message when you donate.
Yep. Give out the socials. What do you got?
At FilthyCasPod on Twitter, FilthyCasuals with our names on Facebook, FilthyCasuals.pod@gmail.com if you want to send us a proper long letter.
Mm-hmm.
That's all.
We had a few of them we didn't get to this week as well because we've run out of time, but we will do probably next week, I guess.
Yeah.
Dave, thank you for joining us.
Oh, that's a pleasure. I had a great time.
At Dave Callan Twit on Twitter.
I am a twit on Twitter. yes.
Anything else you'd like to plug?
Oh, I did a podcast with a ninja for 8 episodes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that's out on the podcast apps and on another thing. No, that's all.
What's it called?
It's called Sensei and Dave.
Great.
It's with my ninjutsu sensei.
Great.
Yep.
Check that out.
You can.
Guys, thanks so much for listening. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals,
don't you patch out that puss.
Oh, goodness. Goodness me.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.